Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Your No Show. And we welcome you to the No Show. This evening you have been serenaded for several seconds by the wonderful and phenomenal music of Stefan Scagliari, my good friend, and the music from What You Do to Me, What Spirit Does to Me, What Spirit Does to All of Us. I am so grateful that you decided to spend a few of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, with us this afternoon and this evening to talk about spirituality, to talk about religiosity, to talk about love, life, and how it is that you are showing up in the world and how spirit is showing up inside of you. I am excited because my wonderful friend this afternoon and is the phenomenal Reverend Reginald Howard out of Atlanta, Georgia, founder, spiritual director of Truth and Transformation Industries Incorporated in College Park, Georgia. And for those of you that don't know, College Park and Atlanta are like one and the same, unless, you know, you live there. And then, of course, it's like Little Rock and North Little Rock. The only time that people say, I am from a certain place, is when they are around other people that know. So we are so proud and so grateful to have my good friend, the Reverend Reginald Howard, with us today. And I just want to share a little bit of who it is that this phenomenal man is. When we welcome him back, actually, to the No Show, because he is no stranger. He has been here before. But as director of the Truth and Transformation Ministries, he is known affectionately as Reverend Reggie. He attended the Barbara King School of Ministry in Atlanta, Georgia. And tonight, we're going to discuss Reverend Reggie's second publication called Transformative Thoughts, The Soul's Sacred Shift, in which he expands his ideas regarding spiritual transformation and shares weekly tools that permanently shift your mental and emotional patterns and create new modes of thinking. In order for things to be different, we have to do something what? Differently. So in this phenomenal book, Reverend Reggie says, adding ideas regarding spiritual transformation to the spiritual science we need to shift our soul's patterns permanently and free ourselves from psychological bondage, and then do what? Create a brand new reality, a brand new me. We are so excited this evening to have my dear friend with us, and we are excited about the things that he will share with us. Reverend Reggie, are you there, sir?
I am here, and thank you for having me this evening.
It is my pleasure, as always. As always, we are not strangers to each other or to this platform that Spirit has created for us to share information with other people. And so we are extremely pleased that you're going to come on and talk to us about how you've helped people to change before, what it is that you do to help them to do that, and how it is that they maintain. See, it's not just about changing, Reggie, because we all change, but then all of a sudden, like a rubber band, you know, we pull it back as far as it will go. And then
right. We
say, okay, we've held it there long enough, now we'll let it go. But then it does what? Goes right back to where it was. So tonight, I am excited about your not only sharing these phenomenal spiritual tools, but also about your telling us how we can maintain and hold the focus. Please, tell us what you've been doing since the last time we talked and what's going on in your world.
Well, again, thank you for having me. I'm appreciative to be in front of your listening audience via the worldwide internet. And we have been continuing to grow and expand here at Truth and Transformation Ministries. We had a large fundraiser last November with the civil rights activist and worldwide known comedian Dick Gregory. And so mm-hmm. he blessed us with his presence and continued to expand our awareness during the month of November. That was the largest fundraiser that we've had to date. So we're very proud and very pleased to have had such an icon here in Atlanta.
Wow. Well, Dick Gregory is a personal friend of mine, and we would often bump into each other there in Washington, D.C., in our favorite little Chinese restaurant. And he is always himself. He never changes, and that's the one thing that I can always know, Reverend Reggie, about Mr. Dick Gregory, and that is that he is going to stay the same and be who it is and show up as the Spirit of God that shows up as Dick Gregory. So I know that you had a good time, and I know that he was able to bring people in and to help folks make a shift in their thinking and move forward in wonderful ways. So congratulations on that. And I look forward to the next time you're having something like that, you let me know. You know, I have fun travel.
Okay, and I certainly so will.
And look, I don't want to be there as one of the elite, one of the speakers. I just want to be there to absorb some of that wonderful energy from all of the folks that you have there, like Dr. Barbara King and other folks who is your mentor, and again, yeah, certainly one of my good friends. So tell us again what transformative thoughts, the Soul Sacred Shift, what was it that made you feel the need to write that book? And then how is it that it is helping people, please?
Well, what I wanted to do with the second publication, because the first publication focused on transforming, spiritual transformation, and helping people to understand that transformation really is more than change, and you alluded to that earlier in the broadcast tonight, that transformation is a permanent shift in both our outlook, that's how we see life, and also in our emotional patterns, in our psyche, such that our total life is completely shifted. And mm-hmm. so that was my motivation for writing the second publication. The second publication focused more on thought and built on the framework of Charles Fillmore. And, you know, of course, Charles Fillmore wrote the book, The 12 Powers of Man. And
correct.
I took each one of those 12 powers and discussed them from a standpoint of just pure thought. Thoughts mm-hmm. are the movement of ideas in our mind. So everything is a manifestation of thought. And so I looked at, for example, faith and understanding that faith is a knowingness within our being, that we are really the embodiment of faith. And I put together 52 weeks, 52 weeks of prayer that centered around those themes. So, for example, faith alone had 4 weeks of prayer that people can zone in on and read 7 days a week, three times a day. That's 21, and you know there's 21 that is the magic mm-hmm. number in terms of shifting a certain pattern in our life
mm-hmm.
or to help us to move in a new direction. And so I wanted to help people, as you said, maintain these functional patterns that would lend themselves toward spiritual growth
and development. So that's what the second book was really all about. And helping them to maintain everything begins with, in my estimation, everything begins with prayer. Prayer is nothing, affirmative prayer is nothing but definite spiritual thinking. And so helping people to scientifically change how they pray or transform how they pray such that they get the results that they want. There's a definite difference between saying, God, please make me well, as opposed to saying, I am divine health. It just vibrates. It just vibrates completely different. And so affirmative prayer is definitely one of the spiritual tools that I recommend for people to use in order to transform their entire life. Before anything, you have to be able to think in a manner that will propel you forward. And everything is just like cause and effect. Everything begins with a thought. And even the Bible says, as you think, so are you. So we are the product of our thoughts. And every thought that we think is a prayer for us, whether it be good or bad.
Absolutely. The thing that came to mind as you were speaking was the little saying that is prevalent in New Thought churches, metaphysical churches, and that saying is, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers. Be careful what you are saying. Seek a higher consciousness, a state of peacefulness, and know that God is always there. And every thought ultimately becomes a prayer. And by the way, we don't just, you know, repeat that and then we know it. No, we have to learn it. We have to use it. We have to modify it to fit who it is that we are, from whence we have come. And then it takes on a new dimension, as you just said a moment ago. It then becomes real to us and it becomes ours. The other thing, Reverend Reggie, is that as a man, woman thinketh in his, her heart, so is he or she. And so if we are thinking negative thoughts, then it stands to reason. And what I hear you saying is that we are going to bring about negative experiences. But then here's an interesting caveat. We bring that about and then we go, OMG, how did that happen? You see, or, and I want for you to address this, or we're watching negative movies, we're watching experiences that are not in line with the God force that is within us, and subconsciously we start absorbing some of that information, and then all of a sudden we start responding and reacting from that negativity. And I want for you to talk about that for a moment, because I know that you address this in your book as well. Please.
Right. You know, the imagination of what we see is exactly what we become. And as we, right now, we're moving out of the winter and we're moving into the spring. And soon we'll be bombarded with television commercials, showing us, the advertisers showing us people with red eyes, runny noses, coughing, sneezing, and, you know, this is all a whole movement to say that, you know, this is the season for springtime allergies. It's a programming, and it's really a programming for sickness. And again, going back to what we were saying earlier and what you and I both agree on, is that the mind can be programmed in any way because of the way that we think. So if you're looking at images and seeing those images which are not really for our highest good, you will become sick. And that's what I experienced for a number of years from childhood until I was about 30, 36 or 37 years old, I would get sick every year around this time. But now understanding the power of the mind and how the mind works and the thoughts that we think create our reality, I was able to create another reality, an alternate reality, where I realized that I'm in charge of my thinking and I don't have to go buy a number of medications in order to thrive and survive during this time of year. You know, I had to do some bodily things. I had to drink more water. I had to stop consuming mucus-forming foods during this time of year. But it all started with the belief that I could be well no matter the season of the year. It doesn't matter what the season. And even they program us to tell us that there's a such thing as a flu and hay fever season. There's no such season. Those are false seasons. The only seasons that we have are the four natural seasons, which are fall, summer, winter, and spring. And so we have to really begin to dig within ourselves and ask ourselves, what is my reality? Is my reality based upon somebody else's false reality? And we can really get into other people's realities if we're watching and being bombarded by so much television. So again, I go back to the whole notion of that we have to pray and that we have to meditate. And there's nothing wrong with watching television, but we have to be aware, using spiritual understanding, what it is that we're looking at any given moment. Whatever's projected on the screen of a television is projecting somebody else's reality out of their imagination, out of their consciousness. And so we've been given the faculty of understanding to be able to discern and to evaluate, is what I'm looking at within my own higher interest. Is this something that is going to propel me forward? So that was just one example in terms of how I use my faculty of understanding and my faculty of wisdom as pure thought to transform, to transform my world. And I want to put that out as a caveat to all of the listening audience to back away from that notion that as we move into the spring that we've got to experience sickness or that you've got to experience hay fever or seasonal allergies. At all points, we have to remember and know that divine wellness is my true identity. Divine wellness is who I truly am, and I experience divine wellness no matter the season or the time because I am eternal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very well said, my friend, and we also want to make our friends who have joined us aware that we're not doubting that your nose is running. We're not doubting that you have hay fever and therefore your head is splitting and that you want to go and put it into an ice chest and just cover it all up with ice, so that you then hopefully will feel better. There's no question that you have not only the symptoms, but you have the result. But what Reverend Reggie is saying is that your thinking is what brought you to that point. So if you want to change that for next year, and even for the remainder of this year perhaps, then you think different thoughts. And this doesn't happen overnight, ladies and gentlemen, either. Okay? Understand that. This, you do not wake up and go, yumbo, I am into new thought now, therefore I will not have a cold anymore. Because immediately you will find yourself with the biggest cold you've ever had. Why? Because you are not ready. You are not ready just yet to move into that space and that place where you know and you know that you know, because you know experientially. So you mentioned something, though, Reverend Ray. You mentioned fear and the power of the mind. And we know fear, all of us who are in this way and walk of life, this faith walk, as false evidence appearing real. And I wonder if you can talk to that a minute. How is it that we face the fear and move forward anyway, recognizing that that which is within us is greater than whatever the fear is around us?
Well, one of the affirmations that I use is that although I may feel or experience fear on the human level, my higher self is not fearful. So everything goes back, you know, all of this is a mind, body, soul, and spirit, that we are mind, body, soul, and spirit. And so spirit, the spirit of us is perfect, whole, and complete, and the spirit of us has to direct the show. So all the other parts of our being have to fall in alignment with our true self, which is our spirit. And so that's very important for us to understand and to know. And that whole thing of fear is just feeling separate. Anytime that fear manifests itself, and it does on a human level, but anytime that fear manifests itself, we have to always go back to the knowingness, which is faith, go back to the knowingness of who we are, knowingness that I am a divine, perfect being that is whole and complete in every aspect, whether I'm dealing with my relationships, whether I'm dealing with my finances, whether I'm dealing with any aspect, my business. I am always perfect, whole, and complete in every situation, circumstance. Now, does that always manifest? No, it may not always manifest. We're all at different levels of consciousness. So this thing takes a lot of, as you mentioned earlier, it takes a lot of practice. We always have to practice and be in the knowingness that we are always in the spirit. And we've been completely really brainwashed out of it because we've been taught one concept that I'm just a human being and that I'm separate and apart from God. And really the truth of it is that we are manifestations of this all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere, evenly present God. And I like this statement that came forth through me. It said, whenever I show up, God shows up, and God shows up in its fullness. So we've been given a really false bill of goods, given the belief that that we're just separate and apart from the love of God. And one of the things I want to bring up here also is that the whole notion of Christ, one who is Christed, is one who has elevated his or her awareness into union with God. That's the all-knowing, all-powerful presence that is the universe. And I am a manifestation of that energy. And so it takes a lot of work, as you mentioned earlier. It takes a lot of work. But when we go back to the basics, just like I said, just like in my book, when you go back to the basics and look at and reflect on our thinking, because everything evolves out of the mind and out of the thoughts that we have. And when we go back and we look and understand that we are the creators of our world, and that our word does not return to us void, it propels us in a direction that helps us to move consciously throughout this experience, creating those things that we truly desire. We're creating all the time, and we are manifesting all the time. The question is whether or not we're manifesting what it is that we truly desire. And I like the quote from the Bible, the scripture, that ye are gods, children of the Most High. It's very key that we begin to realize and know that when we look in the mirror, just as Jesus said, when you see me, you see the one who sent me. So when we see ourselves, when we see ourselves from the larger standpoint, when we look in the mirror and we see ourselves, we really see the image and likeness of God. We see the one who really sent us. And with that, we're more than just this human being going through the troubles of the world, so to speak.
Right. And let me caveat that, if I may, Reverend Reggie, so that I don't get all of these telephone calls and emails and Facebook sheets that say all types of interesting things. What we are seeing is that we are not all that God is, but the God force is within us, which is why it is that we can show up in the world. And yet we can do so much more than we are doing right now. And we want to do that. And all of the ascended masters, be it Jesus or the Buddha or Krishna or any of the ascended masters and the people that follow the various philosophies and religions all across the world have told us this very same thing that Reverend Reggie just told us a minute ago, that you have that same energy, that same life force, that same godness and goodness within you. But what you have to do is to make sure that you act like it more often than you right now are. Don't let that sister get on your last nerve. Don't let that brother make you say things that you know you didn't mean to say, but then after you start, you go on and say some other things as well. Don't do that, okay? Allow this Christ nature, this God force, this universal impersonal principle that is within you to sustain, maintain, and support you in such a way that you, as the Spirit of God, show up in every situation in your life. Now, Reverend Reggie, I want to, in about 4 or 5 minutes, I'm going to take a break and share with our listeners what they already know, but that this is the Renford Broadcast Network on Blog Talk Radio. We are so pleased to offer you so many different programs similar to the one that you are listening to right now. And you may, when you decide to, you can come up on our website and you can hear Reverend Reggie again. You can, anything that you think you might have missed that you wish he had said a little slower or that I had not cut him off when he was about to make that point, you can hear it again, because all of these are available for you under our audio clips. And so we want for you to please come back again and again and again to the Renford Broadcast Network and listen to all of the phenomenal things that are going on, such as the Searchers Roadmap Show, which is on Friday, I believe, and Rhonda Harrison is handling that, and she is the moderator for this particular program. And then James Renford Powell will be on a little bit later this evening with a phenomenal program called The Laws of Material Wealth, How to Have, Be, Do, and Grow in the ways that you know you want to go and grow and be and do. And so we invite you to please come back again and again and again, and invite others to come, because that's how we stay on the air, folks. Listen, in Washington, D.C., there was a little shop that I used to frequent, and it was called the Yes Bookstore. And one day I went by there because I had just heard about this phenomenal book, and they had every little book metaphysically that you could ever want put in between like two blocks, and it was awesome. It was just phenomenal. And when I walked up to the street where they were, I looked, and there was no place there. And I was just standing there in amazement. And this guy came by, and he said, "Oh, you didn't know that they were gone, did you?" "No, I didn't." He said, "Mm-hmm. How long has it been since you've been here?" So tell your friends about us. Share with them that there's all types of great stuff going on, and they can find it right here on the Renford Broadcast Network, specifically on this particular show right now, but others very, very, very much like it. And also, I want for you to know that Reverend Reggie Howard, who is with us this evening, his book, Transformative Truth, talks to a number of different things. And this is from book two. He has 7 steps for spiritual transformation. Now, that's what we were just talking about a moment ago. 7 steps for spiritual transformation. And Reverend Reggie, I don't know if you have your own book open there or not, but I do. Mm-hmm. I have the book that you sent me open. So can you tell us about those 7 steps, how we matriculate into those, what the outcome is, and then how to maintain once we have been there?
Okay. Well, I'll just briefly run through the 7 steps. The 7 steps are foundation, examination, clarification, imagination, motivation, application, and celebration. The first step is foundation. That is the awareness that God and I are not separate, that I am a manifestation of God. And because of that foundation, I can face anything. So then you move to step 2. We can examine ourselves. When you love and respect yourself as a manifestation of God, if you can look at yourself and look at yourself with your strengths and weaknesses and really not fall out, and you can transform those weaknesses into strengths because you're a divine being. Then we move on to clarification, understanding and knowing, being strong in this knowingness that you have a clear awareness that you're a divine being. And through that, you can move on to imagination. You can totally see yourself completely different, because how we see ourselves, how we really truly see ourselves, is how we project ourselves in the world. And as we see ourselves in a different light, we move on to motivation. We're motivated to do more and to be more. And then we move on into application, because we can see ourselves doing more and being more. We can take the spiritual principles that we're learning and apply them, because everything that we're learning, whether it's through reading my book or reading someone else's book or whether we attend Sunday services, it has to be applied for there to be a meaningful transformation in our lives. And then 7 is celebration. That's the awareness and knowingness of celebrating who it is that you are as a divine, creative being. And so those are the steps of transformation, and just in a quick nutshell, if you will. And that's how I wanted that first book to be, just very simple, very practical, something that people could use and that they could easily remember in terms of actually using it in their daily lives. Because it's the most simple things that are the most powerful things. The very simple things are the most powerful things, and they impact us longer and help us, as you said earlier, to maintain this awareness of spiritual growth and really moving into mastery, spiritual mastery.
Wow, awesome, awesome. And if I may, I'd just like to share with our listening audience, both those online and those who have called in by telephone, under step 6, under application, you give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different areas, and And number one says defining spiritual application. The next one would be spiritual understanding, wisdom, knowingness, and then transformative thought. And all of that is right before step seven, which is a celebration. So if you do all of that and get through all of that stuff, then you deserve the celebration is what I'm understanding.
Right.
You know, because, right. You know, there has to be a reason that I have allowed my butt to be whipped like this. And so since I did, now where is the candy? Where is the cake, the cookie, the champagne, whatever it is that is going to say to me, yes, you deserve this, which is that celebratory phase of life. But before we get to that, we have to go through these other five areas under application, deciding spiritual application, spiritual understanding, wisdom, knowingness, and then transformative thought. What do you have to say to us about those areas?
Well, you know, I would just, you know, just zero in on one of those about the knowingness. See, if we don't remember anything else, if we could just go back when something breaks loose, if there's a crisis in our lives. I had a health challenge where my blood pressure had gone up due to stress on the job, and I had gained an extreme amount of weight. But when I went back to the knowingness of who I am and that I am divine health, that I am divine wellness, I was able to lose weight and then decrease, or my blood pressure decreased because of my thinking. And I was able, I'm not telling anybody not to take their medication, but I was able to decrease my blood pressure without the use of any medication. I just began to drink water. I began to exercise. But the important thing was to know that I could be well, that that's how I was designed to function. So that's going back to the knowingness that I am a divine being, that your listening audience is a divine being. And so that anything that crops up in our awareness that is a crisis or that appears to be a crisis, an emergency, that we can go back to our foundation because we love and respect ourselves as manifestations of God and know that that thing can be healed and or shifted because of the power, the innate power that we have and the innate power that we really truly are. And so that's how I've used it. And when I look back at my life, I can just see the theme of transformation all the way through. And that's why I feel so deeply passionate about the idea and the understanding of transformation. It's just been a reoccurring theme all the way through my life. I can even remember from the time I was a child and going to elementary school and teachers initially wanting to label me as being slow. And I remember I had parents who were very active with my schooling, and they said, no, you're not going to put this label on him. And from that point, I graduated in the top percentile of my high school graduating class. So it's very important for us to be aware of how we are thinking about ourselves, because how we think about ourselves, it doesn't matter what other people think, but how we think about ourselves is how we project ourselves in the world. And so I've had to transform many things. I've had to rearrange many things. But I am very grateful for the understanding and knowingness that I can do all things through the Christ consciousness, which strengthens me. And, you know, again, we understand and know Christ. We thank God for our elder brother Jesus the Christ. But he helped us to know that we are manifestations of this God presence and that this Christ presence resides in us as us. So we don't have to wait to get our glory. We don't have to wait on somebody coming back. That we have the power to shift and move anything that is not serving us in our lives right now today. And I like that passage in the Bible that says, "Prove me now," because God is really a right now God. That the power of this the present is really where we find our power right now. This is our only eternity. It's right now, and so it's very key. It's very important that we practice the spiritual tools, practice the spiritual presence, understanding, knowing that the presence is all around us. It moves as us. God can only do for me what he can do through me. And so it's very important that we begin to make this thing very, very practical. It's not a God that's going to come descending out of the sky and going to put something in our hand. It doesn't work that way. God is my hand. The feet that I have are God's feet. Everything about me is a manifestation of this present. It's nothing but you and I are nothing but spirit manifesting itself. It's
right.
Just like you went forth with this idea of the radio show to help help to educate and inform people about spiritual development. Your ideas, my ideas, are God. That's how God expresses itself, through the ideas and through the application of those ideas. So, you know, right now I am very thankful that you've given me this forum to be able to express my ideas because you've had an idea that served as a basis and a platform for many of us to be able to share these expanded and alternate sense of awareness that we need to have right now, really right now in 2014.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and I give kudos to James Renford Powell, who said, "Hey, listen, why don't you come on and take over this program?" Who apparently saw something and Spirit had spoken to him, and so I've been here for this period of time, and it has been phenomenal in terms of having people on like you, who are in many cases like you are, younger than I am, but yet so much more older in terms of being wise than I am. And so I appreciate the opportunity to share it. And there are three words that I use, Reverend Reggie, and those three words, and everybody and anybody that listens to me for 3 seconds knows about serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. You see, there are no accidents in life, and everything that happens, happens for a reason when we place ourselves in a space and a place of awareness. And when we acknowledge that whatever is going on in my life right now, God, by whatever name we want to call it, the unified field of goodness and grace is operating right now, and I am moving forward. Even though it may seem that my body is in pain, that my finances are all messed up, that my kids are cutting up, so forth and so on, it does not matter as long as you maintain your focus on the spirit that is. That's why, to quote the traditional Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, when Jesus had gone out on the water, and I still don't understand why the brother decided to do that, but anyway, okay. He's going out on the water, so he's out walking on the water, and then Peter looks over and says, "Hey, man, you know, I want to come out there too." And he said, "Well, come on, what you waiting on?" "Well, I'm not coming because, you know, there's water out there, and we don't walk on water." He said, "I just walk." "Yeah, but, you know, you're different, so I'm not different. Come on, do you want to come or what? What you going to do?" "Yeah, I'm going to come." So he jumped out there too, right? And he did well until he thought about what he was doing. And then brother started drinking and, of course, was helped up. As we all are lifted up out of that state of unconsciousness into a state of consciousness. Reverend Reggie, we are talking about transformative thoughts, the soul's sacred shift. This is the second book by Reverend Reggie. He gave us the first one, and it was so phenomenal, and people responded in such a wonder-filled and wonderful way that he said, I got to do this again. You know, the first time was great, but the second time will be even more grand than that was. So I want for you to tell us again where people can get your book, how they can reach you through your website, through the publications that are a part of your system. How is it that people can pick up Transformative Thoughts?
Okay. Well, my website is www.truthandtransformationministries.org. truthandtransformationministries.org. And my direct number where you can order the book is 404-274-4300. I also have a Facebook page, and I'm listed on there as Reverend Reginald Howard on Facebook. You can make me your friend on Facebook, and we can continue to stay in contact. But for both books, you can call me directly at 404-274-4300, and then we can take it from there in terms of placing your order, and I can get that book out to anyone who desires it.
Excellent, excellent. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, I have both books, and I have found them extremely helpful and useful. And so you will not go wrong by picking up. If there has been something that has been troubling you, bothering you, and you found your way here tonight to the No Show, then this is one of the ways that Spirit is guiding you and directing you in terms of getting the answer that you want. I don't know about you guys, but for me, that cloud in the sky and Moses and the Ten Commandments and all of that, it doesn't happen like that, okay? If somebody's slapping me right upside my little bald spot, and then I get it. So tonight, many of you are being made aware of that same situation, and we invite you to take advantage of this opportunity and understand you'll have another one, okay? It's not people are so wrong when they tell you this is it. Unless you do it now, they are lying, okay? You will get another one. But why go through all of the pain that you have already gone through again, okay? No, stop and go ahead and do it. So, Reggie, I'd like for you, because all of this month we have been talking to all of our guests and asking them how important is this one word that I'm going to mention, and you tell me what your thoughts are about it. And that one word is forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very key ingredient in terms of being able to move forward. We've got to be able to look at life, because all of life is a series of lessons, and we come into the earth plane to learn a series of lessons. And we may experience or have the notion that some lessons have been good, and some of them have not been so good. But the ones that we deem the most as being not so good are really our greatest teachers, and even those that we label as enemies are some of our greatest teachers. It takes a while to grow in our awareness to that level of understanding. But certainly forgiveness allows us, it propels us to be able to look at certain situations or all situations to be able to, through the power of understanding, learn from those situations and continue to move on. And I like the way that the Bible says, with all that thou getting, get understanding. And after we step into that place of understanding, just allowing ourselves to hear the higher thoughts within our being, to be able to hear the voice of God and then being able to apply that awareness and knowledge, we've then stepped into wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom is something that we definitely have to use. It's not something that's just that just develops on its own because we've been on the earth plane, that we may be 90 or 95, that we've been here so long that we've acquired wisdom. No, wisdom is acquired through actually being able to hear the voice of God, hear the higher thoughts within our being, and then being able to actually apply those thoughts in a practical way in order to move forth through life. I mean, you know, it's so wonderful because you don't even have to learn through your own errors. You can learn through the errors of others, other people that are in your state, because that's happening in front of you for a reason. So,
yes.
I'm just seeing forgiveness, as, going back to your original question, as a means of being able to move us forward, because all of life is about forward movement and progression. If we're not growing, we're stagnation. We're in stagnation, and stagnation really is death. And one of the things that I tell my congregation is that many times people have died before they hit the grave. It's like a zombie, the walking dead. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we really have to make ourselves alert and alive to these awarenesses. And just like I was saying about that last step in transformation is celebration. One of the quotes I use in is, "The joy of the Lord is my strength."
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to be able to always realize and know that the reality of who we all are is really joy. It's not depression. It's not anxiety. It's not despair. And when we don't forgive, we give way to depression, anxiety, and despair. That's why so many people are taking anti-anxiety medication or antidepressant medication.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm saying, you know, for people that may be taking that, know that even if you are taking that this evening, that doesn't have to be your reality 6 months from now. It doesn't have to be your reality 3 or 4 months from now. But we have to really work with ourselves in terms of understanding and knowing who we are. One of the things that I tell my congregation, nobody thinks in your mind but you. Nobody can think in your mind but you. And I like what Reverend Johnny Coleman used to say. She used to say, "You are the thinker that thinks the thought that creates the thing." And so whatever our lives is right now, whatever the composition of our lives is made up of right now, it is us and what we bring to the table. So if we're in a heavenly state, that's because we have taken our thoughts into a heavenly state right here, right now. The kingdom of heaven is already at hand. That's what Jesus said. And the same thing with regard to hell. So it's not a question about where we're going, whether it's heaven or hell. The question really is, where am I in my consciousness today?
Excellent.
And so that's why forgiveness is so important, because really forgiveness is truly freedom.
That's right. Dr. Joseph Murphy in the book The Cosmic Energizer. I was given that book years and years ago by Reverend Dr. Naisha Hazard, and I memorized the forgiveness affirmation in there. And I memorized it because of the fact that I was in such pain, and I needed something as a go-to so that I could feel a little differently. And so what Reverend Reggie is saying to you folks is, number one, he's not telling you to throw away your pain medicine, okay? You will know when the time is right for you to do that, and everything around you will say to you that this is that time, so do it now. And you will know that, and you will reap the rewards from that. So in all thy getting, also get an understanding. And the understanding comes from the spiritual awareness that right now I am in tune with spirit, and therefore I know what is best for me to do. I used that affirmation to help pull me from the doldrums, to help bring me up and out and about. And we're not going to play it tonight because I want for you all to have the last 5 minutes of the program with Reverend Reggie. But as most of you know, who have been listening to this show, I play Rochelle Farrell's I Forgive You. And we've been playing that all this month, and people have been asking for it. So I apologize to those of you who were expecting it and are not going to get it, but you're getting something even more wonderful. You're getting something that is sharing with you the power of forgiveness, just as Rochelle Farrell does in those powerful words of the song that she sings, because she says, I forgive you. I don't care if whether we even have a relationship or not anymore, and I'm not forgiving you for you so much as I'm forgiving you for me. And in forgiving you for me, now there is true forgiveness for you as well. And so all of us then are looking for that plateau. In your introduction to this phenomenal book, you talk about negative experiences and conditions, Reverend Reggie, and you call those a blessing if we, in fact, are trained to use our spiritual eye. Can you share with us in the next couple of minutes what you mean by that?
Well, one of the scriptures in the Bible says that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord. And when we're able to keep our spiritual eye focused on spirit, when we're able to keep realize and know that we are divine beings and that everything comes before us is good no matter what it looks like, we're able to move through the experience and permanently shift that experience into our favor. But when we are not aware, again, going back to what I said earlier, when we are not aware of who we are, who we truly are as a divine being, and we simply move into the knowingness or the belief that we're just a human being going through the troubles of the world, we get stuck. It's just like, you know, it was fine for then when we were singing those songs about going up the rough side of the mountain and laying our burdens down by the riverside. That was fine for then. But as we continue to grow in our spiritual awareness and this understanding that God and I are not separate, we truly can experience what Jesus said, which was that the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, and that he came forth to say, you know, that he came forth to say that I came forth that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, not that you might be depressed, not that you might be in despair, not that you might be constantly in a state of flux. See? And so it does take, as we've acknowledged throughout the broadcast, it takes some practice to be able to move minds in this awareness and this knowingness, because all of the outside influences tell us something completely different. And that's why you and I and others are on this spiritual path to manifest this awareness such that people can see our light and say, he's doing it through his radio show, or he did it by writing a book, or whatever it is, people are drawn to the light, and so we need to continue to gather
We shall. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The No Show, Reverend Reginald Hull, out of Atlanta, Georgia, has been my guest this evening, and we invite you to come back again and again and again. And until we meet again next week on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I invite you to go forth and be who it is that you are. Allow the spirit that is within you to show up right now and forevermore. God bless. Take good care. Create a great day. And